praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry. During his ministry, Witness Lee emphasized the experience of Christ as life and the practical oneness of the believers. He was unbending in his conviction that God's goal is the body of Christ. Through his messages, he stressed the importance for us to grow in life and to function as Christians so that the body can build itself up. We're happy to bring you recorded portions from his ministry today, along with some of our own thoughts, and we welcome your comments and questions. You can reach us toll-free at 888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Now let's join today's program. The epistles of 1st and 2nd Peter and Jude have occupied us now for the past 9 weeks on this program, and today we conclude the life study of these three short but very significant books in the divine record. But not with a systematic or academically structured summary, but rather by following the spiritual thread that links these three books. Though they are separated in the canon of Scripture by the three epistles of John, in their subject and basic structure, they bear a striking similarity and easily warrant being considered as a group. All three were written against the backdrop of the degradation and decline of the church, a time of apostasy. And therefore, all three can be considered as an inoculation against the heresies that were damaging the testimony of the church at that time. Yet they also share a basic structure that is 100% positive and absolutely in concert with the central focus of the entire New Testament. And that is that we would all be brought into the real enjoyment of the triune God in order that through his operation in us we would be transformed, that we could be built up into his spiritual habitation, so that he could indwell us, and that we would express him for eternity. Ron Kangas with us for our final program from these marvelous life studies, these three books. And Ron, I appreciate that we have your perspective. We don't have audio tape today of Witness Lee, which is our loss, but we will endeavor to really try to touch some of the intrinsic and really the central focus of these books, won't we?
This is our goal. Of course, this is quite an exercise, because we need to see beyond the surface to something that is there, but it's easily neglected by the readers out of preoccupation with other things.
Right.
So I was really attuned, especially to the last part of your opening fellowship, concerning the real enjoyment of the triune God and the operation of the triune God in us. This is marvelous. Then, as a result of experiencing and enjoying the triune God in his operation, we can be transformed, and not only transformed, but built up into his spiritual house, his dwelling place. As a result, the triune God dwells in us, and we become his corporate expression for eternity. So here we have some of the elements of what we may call the basic structure of 1st and 2nd Peter and Jude, and also of what we may term the central focus or the focal point.
Yeah.
And in reading over the life studies, the last two in Jude, although I heard the messages live and even as an editor prepared the spoken messages for print, I was enlightened and impressed with Brother Lee's burden. And his burden was that although we need to pay attention to the subject of a book such as 1 Peter,
right,
the Christian life under the government of God, and to so many points in that epistle and the other two, we should not be distracted from the central structure and the central focus, which is the triune God, process and his economy, for our experience and enjoyment, that we may be transformed and built up to become his corporate expression. This is the essence of our entire ministry. This is God's New Testament economy that is woven into the fabric of the New Testament. Not only in Paul, we've emphasized this in Paul very much, but now we see in Peter also, and of course in John, but in Peter and in the little book of Jude, we have a clear revelation of the triune God. Now, I'll admit, the subject of 1 Peter I find very important and intriguing, the government of God.
Yeah.
What an awesome topic, the Christian life under the government of God. And Peter has so much to say about this, especially about God's righteous judgment, which begins with the household of God, the house of God, with the sufferings. And this is the subject of 1 Peter in a modified way of 2 Peter. But Chris, even the very subject of the books and the crucial points in the books may distract us from the triune God, who in his economy is the basic structure and the central focus. So nothing should occupy us more than God himself. Nothing should be our focus other than Christ himself.
Mm.
Nothing should distract us from the Spirit's application of the triune God to our being. Not even something as momentous and intriguing as God's government and the Christian life under God's government and the sufferings we all have as God is dealing with us to purify and renew us. So I was personally helped, and I fellowship out of a fresh appreciation of the help rendered by this ministry to us negatively to keep us from being distracted, positively to motivate us to be intensely focused on the divine Trinity, the triune God. In 1 Peter 1, the Father's regeneration, the Son's redemption, the Spirit's application. Then we have the Word which conveys this triune God to us as a seed. Then we come to the Word as milk and we enjoy it. As a result, we become living stones, a reproduction of Christ as a living stone. We're built up a spiritual house and we express him in glory. This is God's economy. This is the central revelation in the Scriptures. This is the main focus of these books, and this is the basic structure. And I, for one, am happy to see it and talk about it.
Yeah, boy, you know, when I was perusing this material today, Ron, that we're using as a conclusion, there was just so much there. I realized in the 20-plus, 25 minutes or so that we have, there's no way to get all of these points adequately presented. So we've tried to just select a couple of really high points related to this basic structure that you have exhorted us, based on Witness Lee's exhortation, that we not lose sight of, even as we study and look at and delve into the other things that we have touched. In this basic structure that you referred to, that I tried to summarize a little bit in the opening, it begins with this matter of, it's twofold. It's the enjoyment of the triune God, absolutely linked to the operation of the triune God. And this thought is present in 1 Peter, 2 Peter, and the book of Jude, isn't it?
It is. Just like Paul, Peter speaks of the triune God not in an abstract theological way, in the way of speculating upon the inter-Trinitarian relations in the Godhead. There may be a time to do this. That is not the emphasis of the New Testament. But Peter, and remember, he's a fisherman. And how he obtained the capacity to write this, we have to attribute to the grace of God, which he speaks so much about, which made him Peter rather than Simon. But he opens his first epistle with words concerning the triune God in his operation. We have been regenerated unto a living hope by God the Father, redeemed through the precious blood of Christ. We have the sprinkling of the blood of Christ. And the Spirit is operating to apply all that the triune God is and has accomplished to us. Mm. This is operation. This is divine activity. Our God is living. Our God is very active in carrying out his economy to dispense himself into us, to produce in us his expression. But this operation of the triune God needs to be matched by our participation, by our enjoyment. So in 2 Peter 1:4, you have a verse about partaking of the divine nature. Marvelous. Then, as we remarked earlier, in 1 Peter 2, we have the Word appearing again. We were born through the medium of the Word of God, which abides forever, the divine seed.
Mm.
Now in 1 Peter 2, the Word is milk to us. And we should come to the Word to partake of the nourishment in the Word. Then Peter says we grow through salvation. This is paralleled in 2 Peter chapter 1, where we have a marvelous development of the divine life from the seed of faith to the full flowering of love, a development which gives us a rich entrance into the coming kingdom.
Yeah.
So you have the growth in 1 and 2 Peter. Then the goal of it all, that is, the goal of the operation of our partaking and enjoyment of the Word, of our growth, is something called the spiritual house and the people of God. Once we were not a people, Peter said. Now we are the people of God. We need to dwell on such an expression. How do we become of God, the people of God? Do we simply belong to God like you get a new car and so it's the car of Chris? It's not merely like that. We are constituted with God, saturated with God, filled with God. Otherwise, how can we express him? So I say again and again, without any apology, that we need to pay attention to the basic structure of these three books, just as we need to pay attention to the basic structure of Paul's epistles and the basic structure of the entire New Testament, and in fact, of the whole Bible.
Mm.
The basic structure is God, the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, in the divine economy, operating to work himself into us by dispensing himself into us, first to regenerate us, then to sanctify, renew, and transform us, with the goal of building us together into a corporate entity, the dwelling place of God, the people of God, for the glory of God. This is it.
Wow. I like your presentation here. We had, sanctification, renewing, and transformation. which really that sort of sums up our spirituality, I guess, but not as the goal. These three are procedural for the reaching of the goal, which you mentioned, this corporate aspect. Let's talk about that for a minute. The dwelling place of God as it's presented in Peter's writings. And in the life study, Witness Lee makes a very interesting comparison between Jude and how the topic is touched in Jude and how it's presented in Peter's writings. I've picked a couple of verses here, Ron. In Jude 20 and 21, kind of the high points, I think, of the book of Jude, it says, "But you, beloved, building up yourselves upon your most holy faith." It's clearly referring to the corporate aspect, the building up. "Keep yourselves in the love of God, awaiting the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Peter's way in 1 Peter 2 is to say, "You yourselves also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house into a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." And the point that he makes in comparing these passages, Ron, is that Jude's presentation is somewhat simple, and you could compare it to an elementary school presentation, whereas Peter's is much higher, sort of a graduate course level presentation. But nonetheless, they're touching the same central point, aren't they?
They are, and I would like to say candidly, I had read the New Testament through many times, and I never got the elementary school lesson in Jude. In denominations, that's used often as a benediction, you know, some form of that as
sure.
a benediction.
Right.
But even though it's elementary, I had to, in a sense, go back to make up some lessons to see there the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, experienced by us in a vital, living way. You just look at the last two or three verses of Jude. There's the triune God presented, but presented not in theory or in theology, but in operation. And you emphasize this matter of building up yourselves. You know, Jude's presentation of that is basic, so you are being built up.
Right.
Peter's is much more advanced, and you cited 1 Peter 2:5, "You yourselves also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house." Okay, that is a much fuller presentation of the same point, the same truth now at an advanced level. But Chris, while you were reading that, I had a fresh impression from these verses I'd like to comment on.
Sure.
I hope I don't go on a tangent here. But verse 5 says, "You yourselves also as living stones." And in verse 4, "coming to him a living stone." Does this not reveal that we who have been redeemed by Christ and regenerated by God the Father unto a living hope through the Word, and come to the Word for nourishment, for milk, does not all that reveal that we become the reproduction of Christ as the material for God's building? "You yourselves also as living stones," coming to him a living stone. This is the result of our partaking. We come to the Lord in the Word, feeding on him as the life supply, but we come to him in a particular way. We contact him as the living stone, as the material for God's building, which is God's corporate expression. So we contact him with the goal in view. We're not only getting milk, we're made happy by the Word, we have grace for our sufferings, but as we contact him, we're transformed to be the same as Christ is in life and nature, but of course, not in his incommunicable Godhead.
Right.
The thought here is marvelous.
It is.
It's so easy to gloss over.
Mm-hmm.
But if we consider these verses in light of the basic structure and the central focus, we will see that the triune God in his economy is operating in us, with us, through us, and upon us to make us the material for his building, his corporate priesthood, his people. And the way we become that material is by being transformed into living stones, the reproduction of Christ as a living stone. This is to become the same as Christ, the firstborn son, the firstborn among many brothers, so that we can be built together in him to be God's dwelling place. And God's dwelling place, the church, the body of Christ, ultimately the New Jerusalem, is really God's corporate expression. That's the goal of God's economy. I am thankful to the Lord that our brother had this clear view. He covered faithfully all the important points in these three books. And he labored over difficult matters such as proclaiming to the spirits in prison and the gospel preached to those who are now dead. Very difficult points. He forthrightly presented the view, the awesome view, of the righteous government of God, which involves us first and the unbelievers later. But he did all of this, Chris, without himself being the least bit distracted from the basic structure and the central focus, but in love, knowing our tendency to be distracted, he ends this whole line of ministry with a word about the basic structure and the central focus. And if our listeners would avail themselves of the printed material and read the printed life studies, the last two on Jude, you will see that this burden comes forth again and again. Do not be distracted, not by the subject, not by the important points, not by any matters. Do not be distracted from the central focus, from the basic structure, which is the operation of the triune God and our partaking of him to be transformed, to become his dwelling place, his expression. This is the basic structure of these three epistles, the basic structure of the New Testament, the basic structure of the entire Bible. This is the intrinsic core of this ministry. This is what motivates our life study. This is what energizes us in this radio ministry. And this is what is on our heart for the Lord's people, that they would be delivered from all distraction and focus on the triune God himself, participate in him, partake of him, enjoy him, be transformed by him, and express him as part of his dwelling place, his people, and ultimately the New Jerusalem.
Well, our time is up. Perfect point, I would say, or near perfect, to close on this entire life study of 1st, 2nd Peter, the book of Jude. I'm sure you realize by now we cannot help but highly recommend these printed life study messages. That would be three volumes to get all of these three books. Also, of course, the recovery version with the priceless footnotes. So much is distilled and condensed and crystallized in these footnotes of the things that we talk about each day. If you'd like to find out about either of these or any of the other things we have available, we invite you to call us toll-free. That number is 1-888-LIFE-STUDY, 888-543-3788. And that's all the time we have today. For Ron Kangas, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.
Receive us into
Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, produced by Living Stream Ministry. Living Stream Ministry is dedicated to the works of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, two co-laborers with the Lord in China during the first half of the 20th century. After World War II, Watchman Nee sent Witness Lee to carry out this ministry in Taiwan. Later, the Lord led him to the United States and eventually to the rest of the world before he went to be with the Lord in 1997. Living Stream Ministry now has hundreds of titles by Watchman Nee and Witness Lee available in English, plus many in more than 50 other languages. To find out more about Living Stream and all that we offer, visit our website, lsm.org. You can also reach us toll-free at 1-888-543-3788 or email us radio@lsm.org. Thanks for listening.